भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Today we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 5, titled Narada's Instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam, verse number 34.
Evam drunam kriya yoga, sarve samsriti hetavaha, ta evatma vinashaya, कल्पन्दे कल्पिता परे एवं नृणां क्रियायोगा सर्वे संस्कृति हेतवः त एवात्मविनाशाय कल्पन्दे कल्पिता परे एवं नृणां क्रियायोगा सर्वे संस्कृति हेतवः
एवं दस नृणा ऑफ द ह्यूमन बीइंग क्रिया योगाः ऑल एक्टिविटीज सर्वे एवरीथिंग संस्कृति मेटीरियल एक्सिस्टेंस हेतवः कॉसेस ते दैट एव सर्टेनली Atma, the tree of work, Vinashaya, killing, Kalpante, become competent, Kalpitaha, dedicated, Pare, unto the transcendence. Translation, thus when all a man's activities are dedicated to the service of the Lord, those very activities which caused his perpetual bondage become the destroyer of the tree of work. So here is a purport by Srila Prabhupada. Fruitive work which has perpetually engaged the living being is compared to the banyan tree in the Bhagavad Gita, for it is certainly very deeply rooted. As long as the propensity for enjoying the fruit of work is there, one has to continue the transmigration of the soul from one body or place to another, according to one's nature of work. The propensity for enjoyment may be turned into the desire for serving the mission of the Lord. By doing so, one's activity is changed into karma yoga, or the way by which one can attain spiritual perfection while engaging in the work for which he has a natural tendency. Here the word Atma indicates that categories of all fruity works. The conclusion is that when the result of all fruity and other work is dovetailed with the service of the Lord, it will cease to generate further karma and will gradually develop into transcendental devotional service, which will not only cut off completely the root of the banyan tree of work, but will also carry the performer to the lotus feet of the Lord. The summary is that one has to first of all seek the association of your devotees who not only are learned in the Vedanta, but are self-realized souls and unalloyed devotees of Lord Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead. In that association, the neophyte devotee must render loving service physically and mentally without reservation. This service attitude will induce the great souls to be more favorable in bestowing their mercy, which injects the neophyte with all the transcendental qualities of the pure devotees. Gradually, this is developed into a strong attachment to hearing the transcendental pastimes of the Lord, which makes him able to catch up the constitutional position of the gross and subtle bodies, and beyond them the knowledge of pure soul and his eternal relation with the Supreme Soul, the Personality of Godhead. After the relation is ascertained by establishment of the eternal relation, pure devotional service to the Lord begins gradually developing into perfect knowledge of the personality of Godhead beyond the purview of impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma. By such Purushottama Yoga, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, one is made perfect even during the present corporal existence, and one exhibits all the good qualities of the Lord to the highest percentage. Such is the gradual development by association of pure devotees. So, the translation again. Thus, when all man's activities are dedicated to the service of the Lord, those very activities which caused his perpetual bondage become the destroyer of the tree of work.
Om Jnana Timranthasya Jnananjana Shalakhaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganarakunathanyutam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanyutamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanjana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna. So in this verse it is mentioned about a tree. So this tree is presented in Bhagavad Gita, and if we are not familiar with this tree, we should understand that we are also sitting on top of this tree in one of the branches. So in one sense we are part of the tree. We have already taken shelter of this tree. And this tree is mentioned in the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Purushottam Yoga. The first verse itself says, Urthamulam Athashakha Ashyottam Prahuravayam Chandam Siyasya Barnani Yastam Veda Savedavit. So it is mentioned, the Supreme Personality of God has said, it is said that there is an imperishable banyan tree that has its roots upward and its branches down, and whose leaves are the Vedic hymns. One who knows this tree is the knower of the Vedas. So, here we are talking about a tree which is peculiar because it is upside down. Roots are growing upwards and the branches downwards. And this tree analogy is very interesting because it is quite abnormal to see a tree which is upside down. However, if you see a reflection of a tree, then we can see it is upside down. In the same way, this material existence is upside down. Whatever are the intentions in the spiritual life, exactly opposite is present in the material life. So, if we further analyze this analogy, it is mentioned that these roots are coming, starting from the Brahmaloka, which is the topmost planetary system, and the branches are going towards the lower planetary systems. And here, these branches are representing different planets. So as we know, there are 14 planetary systems, starting from downward we are in the middle planetary system, it is going up. So in that way, there are 14 planetary systems. And these branches are specifically representing these different planets. And depending on our activities, depending on our fruitive activities, one can get birth in one of these planets. So one can climb up or down in this tree according to one's fruitive work. So this is our position in the material world. Now, here it is mentioned that there are different leaves for this tree, and these trees are Vedic hymns. So why these Vedic hymns are so significant in this tree? The significance is that by the help of Vedic hymns, one can actually traverse in this tree. One can either go up or down, or ultimately one can even get out from this tree. One can actually chop this tree. That is also possible. So the Vedic hymns are represented as the leaves. And not only that, there are fruits for this tree. And these fruits for this tree are the results of fruitive activities. So why people work very hard? Because of fruitive activity, because of the results of these fruitive activities. If we don't get any result, then we don't work. If we consider fruity work, if there is no result, why one should work? If there is no pay, I stop working. That is the nature of this world. It is mentioned in the Vedas, in the Padma Purana, there are three kinds of energies of the Supreme Lord. There are three kinds of the energies. First is his internal energy. Second is marginal energy. And third one is external energy. However, in this specific verse from Padma Purana, the external energy is termed in a very interesting way. It says, avidya karma samnyanya tritiya shaktir ishyate. So the third energy is called avidya. Avidya means ignorance. And what is the nature of ignorance? Karma samnya. Karma samnya means one will be engaged in fruitive activities. If we see ourselves, or if we see outside people, if you see them working very hard in this material world, one has to understand they are in avidya, they are in ignorance. So that is termed by fruitive activities. We can see, if you go around, how people are working very hard. Nowadays, there is no question of working from 9 to 5, pretty much, in many parts of the world. People are working 12 hours, even more. I was in the catering few days, you know, couple of days before, and I was seeing old man next to our tent. You know, he came next to our tent. There was a caterer, and I saw this old man. They have a grandchildren. They are actually working so hard. It was surprising for me. They are really into the work, working from morning till night. And I actually observed him how he actually works. The grandfather of the next tent. You know, he dropped in the last day, and he was so passionate and he was so eager. Things go smoothly, everything properly. He actually engages others in work. He was very, very determined and continuously smoking also on the other side. So this is the nature. This is fruity work. And I have been to many caterings during the New Year time. That is 31st night I've been catering for the past few years. So I had to share some experience. Most of the times I have seen the working people in the nearest tents. Last time it was a bit different. Last week it was a bit different. But generally I would see all the time, at least one of the person, he will be completely cursing and using efforts and, you know, just shouting. He say, I am just working so hard. This is New Year night and I am supposed to enjoy with my family, but I am working so hard. And I was thinking, one person just came to me and he was just shouting and telling, you know, I am just working so hard. And I was thinking, say, we are also doing the same kind of work. It is hard. And next caterers, they are also doing the same work. But the consciousness is completely different. There one, when one does for Krishna, the consciousness is completely different. And when one is working for fruitive results, that is for just for money, even do the same hard work, the mentality is completely different. And practically they are suffering. So this is the difference between devotional service and the activity for sense gratification. Here in this tree, if we explain further, it's not further finished. There are twigs in this tree. Okay, there are branches. These branches are different planetary systems. And apart from that, there are twigs. And these twigs are considered sense objects. Okay. They are sense objects. So something nice to eat, something nice to drink, maybe intoxicants for this material world. And other kinds of sense objects, they are twigs. And it is interesting, these twigs are connected to the branches. Correct? There is some connection between the twigs and the branches. And this connection, that is called the tip of the branches, are the senses. Like the ear, the eye, nose, etc. So we can see there is a constant connection between the senses and the sense objects. And that intimate relationship between the senses and the sense objects keep one in the material world. According to one's particular kind of relationship, one is kept in a particular branch. In other words, in a particular planet. Maybe in the Bhuloka, Bhuvarloka, Swargaloka, Tapaloka, Janatloka, Brahmaloka. So it can go upwards or it can go downwards. Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Rasatala, Talatala, Patala. It can go downwards. It can go in either direction. But still, one is entrapped in this tree. So this is the tree of material existence. And in this tree, it is said that this tree is actually standing on something. And where is it standing on? It is standing on the desire. So if one asks, why are we in this tree? So the answer is, we are in this tree because of our desire. Because of our desire to enjoy separate from Krishna. As Bhagavad Gita says, Ichha Dvesha Samudhena Dvanta Mohena Bharata. To lord it over the material nature, and out of envy of Krishna, we are in this tree. So desire is the platform on which this tree is situated. And what is the nourishment for this tree? What is the water for this tree? That is the three modes of material nature. So three modes of material nature nourishes this tree. Meaning, one is influenced by goodness, then one does act in a particular way. And when one is affected by the mode of passion, then one acts in a certain way. And when one acts in the mode of ignorance, that is creating certain kind of karma. So by these three modes, one is forced to act in a certain way, and as a result, one is situated in one part of the tree. Either upper planetary system, middle planetary system, or lower planetary system. Now, having said about this tree, Bhagavatam gives a very wonderful explanation how to chop this tree. So even in Bhagavad Gita, the term Ashwadha is explained. Ashwadha means banyan tree. So it's a big banyan tree which is representing the material world. Here, Ashwadha means, one meaning of Ashwadha is banyan tree. But with respect to devotees, it has got another meaning. Shwa means tomorrow. So Ashwa means no tomorrow. Meaning, this tree does not exist for a devotee for a long period of time. So he has the ability to chop off this tree. So this is the significance for devotees with respect to this tree. Because we are, even though we are in this tree at this point of time, there is a possibility to chop off this tree and get out from this tree to the spiritual world. So here it is mentioned in this verse that by the process of karma yoga, or the process of dovetailing one's propensities of activities in service of God, in service of Krishna, one can actually start chopping this tree. Because one has to act in this world. Bhagavad Gita says, nobody can sit idle. One has to act. One is forced to act in one way or the other. One may think, I will be nishkriya, I will be just inactive. But by nature's way, one has to act. One has to breathe, one has to eat. One has to sleep. One has to do so many different kinds of things. One is forced to act in this world. So if we actually dovetail those activities in service of Krishna, then actually it is called karma yoga. And this karma yoga, it is only the beginning. And this karma yoga can be matured into bhakti. That is, when with this propensity to act, when it is dovetailed to Krishna, with that activity, slowly when one develops understanding about Krishna, and when one develops a little bit of love and affection for Krishna, then bhakti begins. So the bhakti has the full ability to remove this tree altogether, once and for all. So that is our aim. So as we mentioned, one tree is this material existence, the material tree. And also there is one more tree mentioned in the literature. What is that tree? Anyone knows the second tree? The real tree? No. But in terms of analogy, what is the tree that is mentioned? Creeper of Bhakti, that is the third one I wanted to say. Second one, that is the Vedas. It is called a tree as well. Nigama Kalpataru Galidam Phalam Shugamukva Amrtadrava Samyutam. So, Nigama Kalpataru, that is considered a desire tree. Even the Veda is also considered a desire tree. But interesting enough, in this desire tree, as he mentioned earlier, even there is a facility to enjoy materially. So, okay, one is studying Veda, that is fine. But there is a possibility that one even still stays in the material world, because there is a lot of part of this Vedic tree is Karmakanda, that is just aimed at fruitive activities. We can see Karmakanda means they have a list. One day I was in India, I was speaking to one of my relatives. She was telling, say Monday this temple, Tuesday to Durga, Wednesday this temple, Friday, Ganesh temple. There was a whole list going on. So according to the problems, there are different temples and there are different demigods to worship. And they go, they do different kinds of worship and expect some results. So this kind of Karmakanda activities will not actually bear much fruit in terms of chopping this tree. But it actually perpetuates one's existence in this tree. So even though Vedic tree is desire tree, one has to be very careful what is one's desire. Otherwise, there is a chance that one stays in this tree of material existence and suffer perpetually. And as he explained, as Prabhu was pointing out, what is the third tree? Third tree is very interesting. This third tree is the tree of devotion. And this tree is Lord Chaitanya's tree. So we have this third tree, which is, and this Lord Chaitanya's tree, there is no material existence. The only means, the only way of this tree is just to chop this tree of material existence. There is nothing in between. If somebody comes in touch with Lord Chaitanya and his tree, the ultimate result is that for him, there is no material tree that will be cut off. So, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Ati Leela, there is a nice verse that says, Malakara Swayam Krishna Premamara Taru Swayam Data Bhokta Tathalanam Yastam Chaitanya Mashre. I take shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who himself is the tree of transcendental love of Krishna, its gardener, and also the bestower and enjoyer of its fruits. So, in this tree, he himself is the tree. It's the transcendental tree. So, Lord Chaitanya's tree, the trunk of the tree is Lord Chaitanya himself. And it is also inconceivable that the gardener, the mali of this tree, that is also Lord Chaitanya himself. And he is the one who can actually bestow the fruits of this tree. And not only that, he is the one who actually enjoys the fruits of this tree. So that bhakti tree is Lord Chaitanya himself. And Lord Chaitanya, he saw that this world is completely suffering. And he wanted to spread the holy name. He wanted to spread love of Godhead. So he thought, my name is Vishvambhara. Vishvambhara means one who actually maintains the entire universe. So he thought, I am supposed to maintain the whole universe. I am actually tasting all the fruits of this nectar of devotion to Krishna. And now I must actually distribute. So he decided, okay, I must actually distribute the fruits of this tree. That's how he became the bestower of the fruits of this tree. Along with, he enjoyed the fruits of this tree. So this is the creeper and this is the tree of devotion service. And ultimately, this is the tree of pure devotion unto Krishna. Now, here it is mentioned that who is the actual, the original storehouse, who is the actual, the seed of this devotional service? That was Madhavendra Puri. So Madhavendra Puri, who was the Param Guru of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he acted as the seed of devotion. He acted as the seed of this tree. Why? It is mentioned that there is a wonderful verse written by Madhavendra Puri. In fact, the whole life or the whole work of Madhavendra Puri is unknown to the world. Still, there are a few verses which were written by Madhavendra Puri, in which in the one verse, Madhavendra Puri expresses his separation from Krishna. Ai Dayadranatha, that verse, in that verse, he actually addresses the Supreme Lord, feeling his separation for Krishna. And that actually shows that is a seed of our sampradaya. In this particular mood of viparlambha, in this particular mood of separation from the Supreme Lord. So that was manifested by Madhavendra Puri, who appeared even before Lord Chaitanya's appearance. So we had to understand the whole thing happened by the desire of Lord Chaitanya himself. The seed appeared, has to appear beforehand. So Madhavendra Puri appeared beforehand. And from him the tree started growing. And further the tree grew as Sri Isharapuri, who was the spiritual master of Lord Chaitanya. And then the whole tree actually fructified and the whole trunk became manifested through Lord Chaitanya himself. And finally, it is said, different sannyasis like Paramananda Puri, Keshava Bharati, Brahmananda Puri, Brahmananda Bharati, Vishnu Puri, Keshava Puri, etc. These sannyasis, they were the roots of this tree. And it is mentioned that there are two main branches for this tree. And one branch is Lord Nityananda and the other branch is Advaita Acharya. These are the two branches for this trunk of devotional tree. It is mentioned that there are unlimited branches for this tree and there are unlimited sub-branches for this tree. And Srila Prabhupada specifically mentions that ISKCON is one of the branches of this tree. So Prabhupada says, we have to understand ISKCON is one of the bona fide branch of this tree. And Lord Chaitanya, he wanted to actually spread this fruit of this tree everywhere. One time, Srila Prabhupada was asked a question that, can we start our own movement? That is, in fact, one of his, few of his disciples. Can we start our own mission? Okay, we are in ISKCON, but we want to start separate. Okay, can we? So Prabhupada said, it's alright, if you want, you can start. But the point is, the endeavor is judged by the result. So, if your movement can actually produce the same result, then it's okay. Otherwise, no. Of course, they didn't dare to start another movement. They did stick to ISKCON. Because as Prabhupada says, ISKCON is the bona fide branch of this tree, which can actually bestow the benediction of bhakti to everyone. So, here Mahaprabhu says, I am the only gardener. How many places can I go? How many fruits can I pick and distribute? So this is one concern of Mahaprabhu. I am the only gardener. If I do not distribute these fruits, what shall I do with them? How many fruits can I alone eat? Can you see? So this is the mood of Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu is asking. He was completely, we can understand, he actually broke open the storehouse of love of Godhead and he plunged himself into the love of Godhead along with his intimate devotees, along with his intimate associates, and then he wanted to actually distribute profusely all around the world. And for that he wanted help. And we can see ISKCON is a branch actually helping, and Srila Prabhupada is the key person in spreading this love of Godhead throughout the world. So this has an intimate connection with the appearance of Lord Chaitanya himself. So, Rupa Goswami says, there are many previous incarnations of the Godhead, but none were so generous, kind and magnanimous as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. For he distributed the most confidential aspect of devotional service, namely the conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. Therefore, Sri Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada desires that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu live perpetually in the heart of all devotees. For thus they can understand and relish the loving affairs of Srimati Radharani and Krishna. So it is mentioned, even though we worship in the deity worship, we worship Radha and Krishna in the mood of Lakshmi Narayan with awe and reverence, but ultimately it is said one has to develop actual love, Raganika, one has to perform the spontaneous devotion for Radha and Krishna. One has to come to the stage, one can naturally think about Radha and Krishna. So we had to get purified to get to that platform. So that devotion is bestowed upon the conditioned being by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he instructed everyone. What is his instruction? Bharada bhumite haile manushya janmayar Janma sathaka kori karo paropakar. That is, if somebody has taken birth in Bharatabhumi, then one should perfect one's life and should distribute to everyone else. Then naturally this question arises, does that only belongs to the residents or one who has taken birth in India? The answer is no. So Prabhupada very clearly mentions in the next verse. So the next verse purport, the next verse is very interesting. This verse is from 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, which was spoken by Krishna himself. So Krishna was in the forest and actually seeing the trees along with Lord Balaram, he actually quoted this verse, he mentioned this verse, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he actually quotes this verse, and it's mentioned,
Etava janma saphalyam dehi namiha dehishu praner arthe dhya vacha shreya acharanam sada.
It is the duty of every living being to perform welfare activities for the benefit of others with his life, wealth, intelligence and words. So this is the duty of all living entities, not just Indians. Srila Prabhupada mentions that Indians actually fail in performing their duty of spreading Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada, he himself had to take the role and he actually spread Krishna consciousness. Then he mentions, no, this is the duty of all the living entities who has actually got this boon of Krishna consciousness to spread to rest of the people. So we can see when we distribute books, when we distribute prasadam, when we distribute harinam, all this time we had to understand this is our duty. It's not just for not just for our own pleasure, but it's our duty. If when it is our duty, then we do whether we like it or not. So this preaching is our duty. As Srila Prabhupada mentioned, preaching is our family business. So if it is a family business, we had to give it to the next generation. We had to give it to the other people. Then it will flourish, it will grow. So we can see there are people who are ready to accept this mercy. There are people who are waiting to looking forward to accept the mercy of devotional service. It is a fact. I can remember during this marathon, there were a couple of times people came to me looking for Bhagavad Gita. Just asking for Bhagavad Gita. One time, I was in the city, one lady, a middle-aged lady, she was waiting, I was explaining, describing Bhagavad Gita, giving a run through to someone, and she was waiting beside me, couple of feet away from me, and she was just waiting, and she was just looking at me, and Nanda Mandapu was distributing book as well, he was also talking to somebody else, so she was looking at both of us, and she was just eagerly waiting, and I finished with this person, and immediately she asked, what are you doing? I said, we are just giving out Bhagavad Gita. He said, yeah, I want to read Bhagavad Gita. Just straight away, it's thinking, I want to read Bhagavad Gita. And just, explain, gave a donation and just took Bhagavad Gita straight away. Australian lady. And I was in Geelong, and there also I saw an Indian old lady, and I spoke about, Bhagavad Gita. She said, yeah, I have all the books. I said, okay, still I have something new, we have got Bhagavatam. And we have got teachings of Lord Kapila. Okay, she said, alright, she gave a donation. And I had Bhagavad Gita in my hand, and she didn't want Bhagavad Gita because she already had. But still, two Bhagavad Gitas in my hand, I was giving the other books to her. She gave a donation. Suddenly, one lady walked to me. She again, a middle-aged lady, Australian lady. And she said, I just went to the bookshop, and I was looking for Bhagavad Gita, and I couldn't find one. And are you selling this? I said, yes, I'm selling this, of course. just gave it to her, she said, I want to start reading Bhagavad Gita. So gave Bhagavad Gita, gave her invitation for the program, etc. So, people are looking forward. So this is how it is. If you are out there for preaching, Krishna actually sends people. And we can see many people, they are actually looking for something. And it is said, by Nityananda Prabhu's mercy, always somebody will come who is eager to hear about Krishna. Of course, there are people who accept a Bhagavad Gita without much interest. They think, oh, it's a charity. To get rid of us, they may pick some coins and give us some money. We give them a book. That is there, of course, and we don't mind that because they are getting the benefit of Bhagavad Gita. Still, there are people who are really looking forward to hear something about Krishna. It's a fact. So when we preach, then we can see that it is very interesting how the Lord reciprocates and how the Lord sends people. And during this catering, there was one interesting experience. One of the new bhaktas, Muchikunda Prabhu's friend, Jason Prabhu, he was mentioning. He was, you know, he was serving out, and for him it was the first time. It was for the first time. Then one lady came and she told that since I ate prasad and this food last year, I was being a vegetarian since then. And she said that was the best decision she had ever made in her life. And she again came just for prasad. So this is the potency. I was just thinking, you know, it's such an encouragement for a new devotee. It's such an encouragement for all of us to hear this. So even just prasadam, how people's consciousness changes. And people are, you know, people are very, very favorable because of prasadam. And I was hearing one other devotee was mentioning, some people were eating prasadam and they were talking, and they were mentioning to another person, if you are not really happy, if you are frustrated, if you have any issue, if you have any issues, you just go and visit the Hare Krishna tent. Yeah, you know, Prakash Prabhu was telling me. I was just, you know, I'm wondering, you know, how the devotees, when we are out for preaching, how the people are getting benefit. The people just come, some people take book, you know, some people ask questions, they take prasad and they are happy. So it is our prime duty, as it is mentioned, it is the duty of all of us, our living entities, all living entities, to give out this knowledge and encourage everyone to come to the platform of Krishna consciousness. And at the same time, we also should practice Krishna consciousness. So here, the specific mention of this verse is dovetailing one's work in service of Krishna and come to the platform of devotional service. So that coming to the platform of devotional service starts from taking association of pure devotees. That is, we take association of great Vaishnavas in this ISKCON movement, and then we start serving, we take shelter of them, take get initiated, and we serve them under their guidance. And the best way to please our spiritual masters and Srila Prabhupada is through preaching, by distribution of Krishna consciousness in one or the other way. So that is the best way one can actually preach. Because one cannot go wrong if one keep preaching. One time my spiritual master mentioned to me that one cannot go wrong if one keep preaching throughout the life. Because if we preach, then we are striking a war against Maya constantly. So if we do that, then there is no question of falling down. So if you don't preach, then there is a chance of falling down. But if we keep preaching, and by taking shelter of our spiritual masters, then we can actually keep going in our devotion life. And also we can be enthused in devotion life. So one time, this question was asked to His Holiness Jayapataka Maharaj. It's a very interesting question. A devotee who was quite senior, he was practicing for quite a few years, he mentioned, Maharaj, I am not feeling enthusiastic in devotion service. So how can I be enthusiastic in devotion service as I keep going? So Maharaj mentioned that if you preach to new people, if you keep preaching to new people, then you become enthusiastic. Because if you preach to new people, they are enthusiastic. We know, if one takes up Krishna consciousness for the first time, you know, one come in touch with the devotees, to do everything they are enthusiastic. For everything, jai, all glories to everything. Right? Taking darshan, jai. Eating prasadam, jai. Hearing bhagavatam, jai. You know, any announcement, jai, 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 jai. So there is the initial enthusiasm. There is an initial enthusiasm. So sometimes it is also considered as an anartha, just being enthusiastic, and you know, sometimes losing enthusiasm. It is called taranga rangini. Taranga rangini means, taranga means the wave. The wave goes up and next wave hits the floor very hard. So that is called, that is a, you know, but one has to actually go through that. We all have gone through that. Taranga rangini. That is, you know, just initial big enthusiasm and then crashing. So if as a preacher, if we actually take shelter of those devotees, that is those who are coming for the first time to Krishna consciousness, when we actually give them Krishna conscious knowledge, when we give them prasadam, when we talk about holy names, if we do so, then what happens? They get the mercy and we also get the mercy. And our mercy is in terms of enthusiasm. So then we can remain, we can be enthusiastic and we can actually keep our enthusiasm. So that is very important in Krishna consciousness. Utsaha, nichaya, dhairya, tattva, karma, pravartana. So utsaha is the first thing, enthusiasm is the first thing. So if you are not enthusiastic, then it is very difficult to continue in pursue in devotional service. So there also it boils down to preaching Krishna consciousness to get enthusiasm. So it is mentioned, by his work, thought and words, an intelligent man must perform actions which will be beneficial for all living entities in this life and the next. So we have to understand, in this life and the next. So there the question, there the point comes, it has to be devotional activity, the preaching has to be devotional preaching. No, nothing else, not philanthropic or this or that, which will not really help in the next lifetimes. So by this preaching process, we can actually cut this tree. And cut this tree of material existence, and we can actually nourish the tree of devotion by preaching, by hearing, by chanting and dancing. We can actually flourish this tree of devotion. So Lord Chaitanya says, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the great gardener, sees that people are chanting, dancing and laughing, and that some of them are rolling on the floor and some are making loud humming sounds, he smiles with great pleasure. So if you want to see Mahaprabhu smiling, then we have to actually go through the process of devotional service and we have to actually preach Krishna consciousness. Then Mahaprabhu is smiling with great pleasure. So as I mentioned, first we described the tree of material existence, and second is the tree of Vedas, which is again a desire tree, which can fulfill all the kind of desires, both material and spiritual. And the third tree is the tree of Chaitanya, the tree of devotion, by which one can cut the tree of material existence forever, and one can come to the transcendental platform. So I stop here and see if there are any comments or questions or corrections. What is the reason for fall down? Generally, reason for fall down is pride. So, it is a fact, it is a hard service, it is a cutting edge service. One has to be on the edge all the time, especially if we are distributing books all the time. And I don't do a full-time book distribution, just I did for marathon. So I cannot say from the whole my experience, because I haven't done that. But my understanding is that if one has to actually go on with book distribution, there are devotees. It's a fact that there are many devotees who are still going on with book distribution. One has to have a solid sadhana. That is the prime necessity. One should have very solid chanting. One should have solid reading and very humble attitude. With that, if one actually distributes books, then one can keep going. Otherwise, what happens? With the book distribution, one will get a lot of results and one can get attached to the results. It's glorified. Book distribution is such a difficult service that it is glorified, right? Every day if somebody distributes even one book, even a one small book, you know, worth 50 cents, still we say jai, correct? So one is glorified even for distributing just one book, one small book. So if somebody actually keep doing the service with full enthusiasm, naturally Krishna will bestow with lot of results. Then it is up to us how not to get attached with results. So when we get attached with results, means we can become proud. We can think, I am the doer, I am the controller, I can distribute so many books. It's like, again, in one book distribution lectures, His Grace Vijay Prabhu was mentioning that one book distributor, he became so expert in distributing books. Hundreds of books a day, lot of books. So he told one sannyasi that I am an expert in distributing books. I can distribute book to anyone. Yeah, he said that. I can distribute book to anyone. So this particular sannyasi, he said, okay, you just go out and see, let's see. So he went out. He had his books and he started struggling, and he did for a few hours, he couldn't distribute even one book. You see? So this is how big you can be, big preachers, big distributors. The quality one should develop is one should remain humble. Can be any kind of preaching, not necessarily book distribution, any kind of preaching which actually brings a lot of result in terms of building temples, in terms of making a lot of devotees, maybe bringing a lot of Lakshmi. Those who have actually gone from the platform of humility, when they have become proud, then they have fallen down. So I'll just read something which is interesting, because when I read about the tree of material existence from 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, very interestingly, Krishna says, what is a necessary qualification, the process of surrender, because it is very essential. I will explain the opposite of that. Those who are free from false prestige, illusion and false association, who understand the eternal, who are done with material lust, who are freed from the dualities of happiness and distress, and who unbewildered know how to surrender unto the Supreme Person, attain to that eternal kingdom. So starting from one who is free from false prestige. So here Srila Prabhupada in the purport makes a very important point, because it is applicable to this question. The surrendering process is described here very nicely. The first qualification is that one should not be deluded by pride. So surrendering process, it is a process. So if you are distributing books or if you are doing any devotional service, it's a process which is keep going. It's not that I have distributed a book today, so tomorrow it's not required. It's an ongoing process, right? So one has to keep going in the surrendering process. And to do so, one shouldn't be deluded by pride. Meaning, one should become humbler and humbler and humbler as we progress in devotional life. Maybe by distributing books, maybe by making devotees, maybe by cultivating, by cooking, anything. One has to actually go down. Because the conditioned soul is puffed up, thinking himself the lord of material nature, it is very difficult for him to surrender unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So how one fall down? Because of pride. One doesn't want to keep surrendering, that's all. Because of pride. Because of pride, one gets attached. Deluded, one gets attached to the fruits of the self. So that's the reason. Is that answer? Mataji. From our experience, if we have actually cultivated any, has anyone, many of us have experience in cultivating devotees, right? All of us, many of us at least, have some experience in cultivating devotees. Those who are just coming to the temple or just met on the street, slowly giving them some Krishna consciousness, giving some prasadam. And if we actually just look back, how we have cultivated. Okay, I'll go a step before. Look back how we became actually devotees. Think about how some other devotees, how they actually put some effort in giving us Krishna consciousness. Just think how they have gone out of the way to give us Krishna consciousness. Actually, preaching cultivation doesn't work if we just stick to one program. That is, I have my sadhana, this is my service, and this is, everything is fixed. Okay, I'll just do this. I'm not ready to go out of my way. If that is our attitude, we wouldn't have become devotees first of all. I can remember myself. There are devotees actually who have actually spoken to me late nights. He could have actually gone and slept, you know, after 10 o'clock or so. You know, just encouraging me about Krishna consciousness, giving me philosophy, you know, going on till 11 o'clock, 11:30, like that. So if we want to make some devotees, then we have to actually give them what they need, according to their convenience most of the time. Because they are not so willing, so that they are ready to listen according to our conveniences. So we may have to go out of our way to give them Krishna consciousness. Otherwise it doesn't happen. Especially in, I was just speaking in terms of cultivation point of view. We can see we had to take out our time. I mean, I had to read some things. Then I had to stop that and I had to go and spend some time with somebody. So that is our inconvenience. That is in terms of cultivation. If somebody has to be invited for lunch or dinner or, you know, spending a quality time with them, one has to take out one's time. It is inconvenient, especially if we have a packed schedule, when we had to do so many other services, when we had to do this and that, and manage our own sadhana, then one has to actually take inconveniences. Then how about book distribution? In book distribution, if we are in our own comfort zone, we will not be able to distribute books. It's a fact. If we are on street, if we had to distribute books, we had to get out from our, first of all, we had to get out from our own mental platform. It is difficult. That itself is an inconvenience for ourselves. We had to get out. And we may not feel like stopping people. We have to. We may not get good response till we had to go for it. You know, we can spend hours without any result. It happens. You know, during, you know, if you do, you know, at least, you know, I do, you know, pretty much every day in marathon, otherwise I don't. So when I do every day, I can see, you know, sometime in a few hours, no books goes. You know, just keep trying, you know, keep trying. So there are inconveniences. So if you want to make actually devotees, we have to go through inconveniences. So preaching means inconveniences, otherwise it's not possible. It doesn't happen. Because we had to give them according to their conveniences. Because they are not ready yet for our convenience. So for devotees, Bhagavatam class is there. We have a set schedule program, everything. That's fine. For a new person, we may have such a program which is of a set schedule, but that's not good enough. One need more time to become actually devotees. And with that, when we put that extra effort, even their heart changes. They also start thinking. Many people become actually, the heart changes when they see how these devotees are so much interested in me. How they are trying to serve me selflessly. So if you actually put that effort, then Krishna reciprocates by changing their heart. Then they also become devotees. Is that sort of... Yes, Prabhu.
First of all, I want to thank you for a very wonderful lecture. Why I am here, I'll tell you myself. On 4 December 1973, I was living in Sydney area, and one devotee came and he asked me, do you want Bhagavad Gita? So I was so fortunate, I got it. And I told him, can you write down your name also, so that I can remember. And that's how I came to about Swan. So most important, as you said, is distribution of books. I want to be. And so much so that president of Sydney Temple was coming to my house and coming to preaching, giving programs and bringing in instruments and everything. So how captivating is this movement? Second thing I heard is if you dance in front of the deities, then the Maya will never affect you. Third thing I wanted to tell you about. When you were telling about Jayadeva Swami, he told me when I took the initiation, first thing you have to serve, you have to help me serving Prabhupada mission. So this is the most important thing. Almost is preaching. And that is Prabhupada mission.
Thank you. Any other answer? One is through association of the devotees. Those who have faith, we also get faith. Second point is, initially when we chant Hare Krishna, we are in the stage of Anartha Nirvritti. So in the stage of Anartha Nirvritti, there is this up and downs. It is not steady. By its nature, it's not steady. The only thing what we can do is still we have to go on with determination. So that's the reason after Anartha Nirvritti, there's a stage of Nishtha. Nishtha means steadiness. So initially, it'll be the frequency of variation of our devotion and our sadhana can be very fluctuating. Eventually it smoothens a little bit. So as we move forward, it becomes smoother and smoother. You know, it's like a sine wave, it's amplitude reducing and, you know, frequency reducing, like that it goes. Then eventually it becomes a steady state. So it takes time. We have to patiently and with determination, we have to keep going in devotional service. It's not an instant, mostly for most of us, it's not an instantaneous process. It takes time. But the main thing is we had to just, in association of devotees, keep going. Okay. So if no further questions, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Santara Srimad Bhagavatam ki Srila Prabhupada ki Jai Nitai Gaur Pramande Hari Hari Bol.